That whole phrase, I'm afraid, is something that affects all of us in different ways as we walk through life. That's why we're just in the middle of this series, dealing with the fears that keep us on pause, dealing with the fears that keep us from doing things that are helpful for ourselves, dealing with situations in our life. Fear seems to incapacitate us to do something to get us to the other side. And so we're dealing with different fears as we go through this series. And today I want to take a look at another one that hits us, I think, again, like the other ones, more than you think about, more than you know. And it's this whole idea of the fear of failure. I was actually counseling a guy last week, and he says, I just feel like such a failure all the time. And that fear of failure keeps him from doing healthy things. It gives him permission to do destructive things. It keeps him playing the victim in life. It keeps him from moving forward. I just feel like a failure all the time, he says. I'm sure even after I kind of begin the message in that way, so there's some of you guys sitting in the seats right now saying, oh, well, Pastor, I got fears, but this isn't one of them. I'm crushing life. I mean, I just got it all together. And I'm sure that's true of all you guys. And I say that especially in the midst of a culture today, and I don't know if you kind of recognize this or not, but we live in a culture today that doesn't really talk much about failures. We kind of pretend they don't exist oftentimes, or we like to blame it on other people, or we just don't often deal with failures in healthy ways today. And I think it's because nobody really shows us how or talks about it much. But the reality is, it doesn't matter how successful you are in some areas of your life, there are other areas of your life right now that you are terrified that you're going to fail at. In fact, these are newspaper headlines, and I had to go back 10 years to find them that would kind of be applicable to our message today. But here's a title from 10 years ago. In this dog-eat-dog world, a fine line separates one who's afraid to advance up the ladder and one who's sure he'll never make it to the top. Another one. No one is immune to these little deaths of failure. Failure is universal. It's endemic. It's part of the human experience. Truth is, we're all failures at different times in our life. We all experience failures at different times in our life. And the reason for that is somewhat simple. If you just take a step back, it's that risk implies that there's going to be failure sometimes, doesn't it? Risk implies that you might not always get to the other side of that in the way that you want. All of the decisions we make in life, many of the decisions we make, risk is involved. If you're going to date anybody, there's a risk to that. If you're going to marry anybody, there's a risk to that. If you go and start any new job, there's a risk to that. If you try a surgery, there's a risk to that. There's a risk to almost everything out there in life. So if we dare to do new things, changing a job, creating a work of art, trying to get into a school, falling in love, inventing a new product, we risk failure. And that's part of life and part of, again, I think what made our country great, part of what makes our lives great. But it's implicit in the striving for success that we say is so important. And the only way to avoid failure, to be honest, is to never strive for anything. To remain fixed where we are. But I'm telling you, that's no way to live. I was talking to a gal one time. She had just been through a brutal divorce. See, you know, you get married, you think it's going to be forever. It should be forever. God wants it to be forever. But the guy cheated on her and left her for somebody else. She was heartbroken. She says, I don't ever want to love again. I don't ever want to date again. I don't ever want to experience this again in my whole life. She was 23. She could stay there and live the rest of her life alone and closed off. But to do that, she'll never experience what love is again. It's no way to live life. The only way you get anything amazing in life is if you risk, if you try and try and try to see if it's something that can happen or not. But the fear of failure is not something that is new to our human experience, obviously, right? It's been around for ages. Even Jesus tells a story about it in the Gospels. In fact, in Matthew 25, he shares a story about a master who's going away on a trip. And he's testing his servants. He wants to see, you know, I guess what they're made of. And so he gives them a part of his wealth, a few talents in each direction. And he says, I want to see what you do with this money. In fact, I want you to make me some money. So I'm going to be gone for a while. I'm not going to tell you how long. But when I come back, I want to know that you've tried to do something with what I've given to you. So the story unfolds, and he divides his income amongst them, and he says, I'm going on a trip. I want you to make me some money. I want you to invest it. And so the first guy takes his. He risks it and doubles his money. The master, satisfied, says, well done, good and faithful servant. I love what you've done. I love that you tried. Second guy comes, takes his money, invests it, takes a risk, doubles his money. Master comes back, says the same thing, well done, good and faithful servant. The third man is afraid. He's terrified of his master. So he digs a hole in the ground and buries it so that he can give back the full amount of what the master had given to him. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, but he was going to be safe, so he buries it in this hole. Now, the interesting thing about this whole story to me is this. It's Jesus' reaction to the man who had a fear of failure and gave into it. Listen to what it says in Matthew 25, verse 25 and 26. It says, so I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You ever listen to that and think that's kind of a harsh reaction? I mean, he got back his money. He didn't lose any money. I mean, doesn't that seem somewhat harsh? If you don't think so, I think a lot of people in our culture would think so. But Jesus says, and these are Jesus' words, that that's what God thinks about us when we play it safe in life, when we refuse to take risks in life, when we refuse to live by faith. Let me see if I can give you a parallel example of that. So I'm a dad of three kids, and I watched them play sports all through the years, and whether it be swim or when they were really little, soccer, some of them, you know, and I had one rule when they played sports. I just wanted them to try, to give the best effort, and the only thing that wasn't okay is if they didn't try, but I just wanted them to try, and so that was my big thing. And I think as a parent, I don't think that's just true of me. I think it's true of almost all parents. We just want our kids to try doing stuff in life, to see if they can succeed, to see where their gifts lie, to see what they're able to do, to see what's possible. We don't want them to just kind of hole up in our basement. I guess we don't have basements here, but hole up in a room and play video games all the time. We want them to try at life. And the only thing that's not okay, I think, for most parents is when your kid stops trying. And what causes that? Fear of failure most of the time. In other words, the Bible says all the way through, you cannot please God by playing it safe. And so today, I want us to take a look. If that's what God calls us to do, if he wants us to be triers in life, risk takers in life, how do we overcome this fear of failure? And God says, you do it by remembering three things. I'm going to give you three things today that are super important. Pretty obvious, most of them, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. And the first one is this, that you just have to remember that everybody fails. Everybody fails. The starting point to overcoming fear, I think, is just to realize that that's actually the case, that all of us fall short, that failure is universal. Everybody does it. They did a study one time, and it shows that the failure rate of human beings is still 100%. Does that surprise anybody? No, it doesn't. The scriptures say that nobody is perfect. The scriptures say that we all make mistakes. Again, in a paper from about 10 years ago, this was an article. It says, failures of the world rejoice. Your day is coming. If at first you don't succeed, try again. If you still flop, call Jack Gilbert and tell him that you want to join the celebration. Gilbert, a businessman and writer, is touting August 15th as a National Failures Day. Failures Day is to honor all persons who've experienced failure in life in their pursuit of a noble dream, an unconventional idea, or an impossible goal. Focusing attention on famous flops, National Failures Day could inspire people to continue with renewed determination to pursue their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations for a better life. But there's some encouragement in that, isn't that? You know, my daughters, when they were growing up, one of the things I love about swim is that you got what you earned, right? There were certain times that you had to have to go into the next group. There were certain times that you had to have to swim in certain meets. I remember my daughter one time, she came to me and she goes, I want to be in the next group. I said, I know you do, honey. You just have to make these times. She goes, no, but all my friends are there. I think I'm going to tell coach I need to go in the next group. And I think that's the way our society is, that we just want to do what we want to do. But I said, well, there's certain things that you have to do. And so she recognized that, and she goes, okay. And so she tried in the next meet, and she failed to get those times. And she tried in the next meet. She tried over and over. It kept failing. But then one day, what happened? She got the times. She kept keeping on, and she got to the place where she wanted to be. There's a lesson in that, I think. But part of it is just recognizing that she wasn't the only one that wasn't in the next group. There was other kids that were trying right along with her, and she saw them fail, and she saw them get up and try again and keep on going. And when you start realizing that, I don't know, life isn't perfect, and that sometimes things don't go according to plan, but you see others keep on keeping on, it gives you the encouragement to try again. Maybe there's hope again. All that to say is that everybody fails. We all make mistakes. In James 3, verse 2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. And I love the imagery of that. Think of the last time you stumbled publicly. Maybe it was in front of people, right? Stumbled publicly. What was your feeling, your experience? In that moment, there was terror, for whatever reason, terror. You felt the fool. You felt like everybody was judging you. You felt like everybody was going to laugh at you in that moment. Being a pastor, not only have I experienced this a lot, but I've seen people walk across for graduation and fall flat on their face. I've seen them at a wedding fall flat on their face. I've seen somebody get up and sing a beautiful song and step the next step and fall flat on their face. In fact, the first time I ever did liturgy, that's kind of running through the service in the traditional setting, I was just in seminary, and I was on my field ed church, was kind of your practice church. God bless those people. Anyway, the first time I was ever doing it, I had my brand new robe. It was all white. I mean, I was spiffy. The robes make me look good. I mean, that's about the only thing. But the reality is, I was getting up there. I go right to the front of the church. I'm going to turn around to give the invocation, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that whole thing. I was super excited. But as I stepped up the step, I caught my robe, and it flew right open. The song ended in that moment. And I turned around to the congregation like this, in the name of the Father, it was horrible. We all stumble, it says, in many ways. All of us do. You know, it's interesting, the universal response to seeing somebody stumble in public, it's not laughter. What do they say if you see somebody stumble? What's the response? Ooh, it's a response of understanding. It's a response of compassion, because we've all been in that spot. We all get what it feels like. We can all remember. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God's plan. Everybody fails. If you're in baseball, for every 1,000 at-bats that you get, you're going to get out 700 times, and that's if you're a superstar. If you're a basketball player and you miss only 50% of your shots, you're a superstar. So, kind of in keeping with that, if you lost your job last week, if you were fired, there's a component of that where you need God to help you through that, to provide in the intermediate, but you can take a step back and say, you know what? We're going to make it through this. This is not that big a deal. And I share that because I bet that a quarter of the people sitting in this room have been fired from something in their life. I was fired from doing laundry at my house. You ruin, 15, 16 shirts, and they don't let you do it anymore. I don't know, but I know what that feels like. Failure is a universal thing. And second thing God wants you to remember as you go through life, failure is not final. The reality is that failure is almost never fatal in life. It's not going to kill you. But the fact of the matter is that the fear of failure is almost always worse than the failure itself. In Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, for even though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. In other words, he's able to get up again and again and again. He's saying even the good guys stumble, so you don't have to take it so personally. Many times there's factors out of your control that you can't do anything about. It's not always your character that makes you stumble. Sometimes it is. We call that sin, and there's complications to that. But it's saying that even good guys have failed before succeeding. In fact, you look at the history books, and the history books are filled with biographies of failures who failed, got up, kept going, and eventually made good. And some of this was new information for me. Did you know that George Washington, founder of our country, did you know he lost 2/3 of the battles he fought in the American Revolution? That 2 out of every 3 battles they went into, he lost, and yet he eventually won the war and became the first president of the United States. Napoleon graduated 42nd in a class of 43, not usually what we'd call brilliant, and yet what did he do? He went on to conquer Europe and was considered by most one of the greatest strategists of all time. Babe Ruth hit all those home runs, 714, but in his lifetime, he struck out 1,330 times, almost twice as many times he struck out as he got a home run. For years, he led the league for the most strikeouts. Mickey Mantle, it's hard to get one of his baseball cards, but he's an amazing dude. He took his team, the New York Yankees, to the World Series 7 times, had over 500 home runs during his career. And yet he struck out 2 out of every 3 times he went to the plate. That's not good, by the way. In Galatians 6:9, though, it says this, we must never get tired of doing good. Because if we don't give up the struggle, if we keep on keeping on, we shall reap a harvest at the proper time. I'm just always amazed at how quickly people give up. How fast people give up. We give up way too soon as we're going through life. And yet the scripture tells us, and I think experience confirms, that you learn the most through your failures in life, don't you? Maybe we have the most attention at that point. Maybe we're focused on the things that caused us to be in that spot. I don't know, but it seems like we learn the most through our failures. In fact, so much of success comes through the failures that we've experienced. We figured out what not to do, right? That's part of figuring out success. For example, how did you learn to walk? Well, you got up and you tried, and then you fell pretty quickly, and then you got up again and you tried, and you held on to something, and then you fell, and you just kept going over and over. But can you imagine the baby who falls three times and says, "That's it, I'm out. I'm a failure at walking. I'm never going to walk again. That's it." No. You just keep on getting up until one day you can walk. You keep on keeping on. Let me share this story. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of his home because of a legal technicality. He had to work to help support his family. At age 9, while still a backward, shy little boy, his mother died. At age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school but couldn't because his education wasn't good enough. At 23, he went into debt to become a partner at a small store. 3 years later, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt, which took years to repay. At 28, he developed romantic relations with a young lady for 4 years and asked her to marry him. She said no. At 37, on his third try, he was finally elected to Congress. 2 years later, he ran again and failed to be reelected. He had a nervous breakdown at that time. At 41, adding additional heartache to an already unhappy marriage, his 4-year-old son died. The next year, he ran for land officer and lost. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. A few years later, he ran for the Vice Presidency of the United States and lost. At 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. But at 51, he was elected President of the United States. His name? Abraham Lincoln. He was a continuous failure, just objectively, as you go through life. He failed again and again and again, but he kept on going, right? And that's what made him so unique, till eventually he was elected President of the United States and truly became one of the greatest presidents in our history. The fact is, failure is not the worst thing that can happen to you. God can use those failures to teach you amazing things, to grow you in ways that you could never imagine. He can use those things, right? He's always working for the good of those who love him, sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes in the midst of those things. So don't blow it all out of proportion. Everybody fails. Everybody falls short. But it's not the deal breaker. And then God goes on and says, I want you to remember this third thing. We need to learn to replace our fears, the things that incapacitate us, with faith in Christ, trust in Christ. I keep telling you, we need to trust God for more. And that's the answer to this. In Philippians 4:13, listen to what Paul says because he figured this out. He says, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gave me. I have the power to keep on going. I have the power to keep on trying. I have the power to keep on sharing. And I don't care what happens. I've got the power to keep on doing it. I don't give in to my fears. I don't give in to the fear that they're going to persecute me. I don't give in to the fear that I'm going to get in trouble. I don't give in to the fear that I'm going to go to jail. I keep on trusting my Lord that he will do something amazing if I keep on going. I love that. But I want you to think about that for a second. You know, sometimes I'll go to a party or something like that, and somebody will have a drink in one hand, maybe a cigarette in the other. But they'll find out I'm a pastor, and they go, "Oh, Jesus is your crutch." And I kind of look at them, and I think, well, what would you do if I took those two things away from you? And you're like, I don't know. But the reality is, Jesus isn't my crutch. I'll just say this. Jesus is my iron lung. I need him in my life. I depend upon him in my life. He is my strength. He is my rock. He is my support. He's the one that gives me peace through the forgiveness that he gives me from Jesus on the cross. He is the one that renews my strength over and over. He's the one that gives me hope. I need him in my life. And the truth is, either you're going to rely on him, who is true, or you're going to rely on something else in this life that is false. But you're always going to turn to something to give you that support and that strength as you go through this life. You know, a lot of people, they wear their status symbols on their wrist, or maybe they drive it. But there's all these things in our world today that really prop you up or build you up so that you feel good about yourself, at least for a moment. But what God says is what you really need is just a relationship with God, the God who loves you, the God who wants you to know him, the God who wants to give you power, peace, forgiveness, strength, hope as you go through this life. I'm telling you, the more and more we trust him for his promises, the more peace we experience in this life, because peace comes from trusting God. It just does. It's amazing the way that he can do this as we walk through this life. Because in the end, you can either program yourself as you walk through this life with one of two things, fear or faith. You can see that in all the situations of your life. Is it fear that's driving me or is it trust that's driving me? You can either have faith in God or you can have fear of failure. And the problem is that rather than so many people, rather than being God-driven success seekers, they are fear-driven failure avoiders. And the result, I guess, is that we've created a country, and I think one of the things that really bothers me most about our country right now is we've created a country where we have this incessant drive to take away all the risks out of our society. I mean, rather than do the right thing today, it's safety first. We're trying to provide absolute security from cradle to grave and remove all the risks that are out there today, removing the right of people to fail. I'm telling you, if you go back in the history books, I think one of the things you would say that made America great is that we trusted or we took risks in life. One of the things that's been unique about our country is we've been able to learn from our mistakes throughout history and make adjustments as we've gone through life. But the more we create a safety net society, the more boredom we're going to experience in this life. And the less we're going to learn from our history. Man was made to take risks. It was made to trust in God. In fact, I think that's on our dollar bill, right? That's why God says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. So let me just ask you a question this morning. What is it that keeps you from believing, from trusting him in some area of your life? What are you afraid of failing at? And there's a lot of things out there. Afraid of an upcoming job interview. Afraid of your finances not keeping up with inflation. Afraid of failing at your marriage. Afraid of getting married again and not having it work out. Afraid that you'll never get married. Afraid of being single. Afraid of being a bad parent and failing at that. Afraid of committing your life to Christ because of what that might mean. Afraid of committing yourself to a church and God's family because, I don't know. I mean, the reality is that you miss so much of God's blessing in this life because we're just so afraid to believe in God for anything. And so we don't try. And we stay where we're at. And we don't get to see the miracles. We get consumed by this fear of failure. And so God comes to us this morning and he just says, I want to say this to you guys. Remember, I love you. I love you so much. I sent my son for you. I mean, evidence that he rose again. You're forgiven. I love you so much. I forgive you. I'm still with you. I've always been with you. I am able. I can speak things to being. And I just want you to trust me. Guys, trust me, and I will make your life better. I will give you more peace, more strength, more hope than you can imagine. Just trust me more with your life. Don't miss out on my blessings any longer. For I've said to you, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Guys, I think that's an encouragement for us today. To try to figure out something that we can trust him more for in our life. Whatever you're afraid of, I encourage you to trust God's promises instead of the messages that you're listening to. To trust that he is able, to trust that he is there, to trust that he loves you. And so let me pray. God, we love you so much. And I think we all struggle with this. Even at first glance, maybe we don't think it applies to us. But the reality is there's always these areas. And whether it be relationships or job or whatever, school, health, we get scared as we're going through this life. It's a term we understand. We call it worry. We call it stress. We call it anxiety. But they're all the same thing. So our prayer today, Lord, is that you would give us and you would speak to us your truths from your word in the midst of our circumstances. That instead of listening to the lies or the fear, we listen to what you've said instead. And then we could be like Paul and say, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that you give us. But let us be those people that experience your power and your peace and your strength as we go through this life. And that's our prayer. And we pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.